My name is Dennis Lee, and the best Scott Simons and Irving Layton story that I've heard was told to me by Scott some years ago. He said, shaking his head with a bit of disbelief, and from Scott that didn't happen very often, he said, I saw Irving Layton yesterday. Irving asked me how I was. I said, Irving, yesterday I had the best day of my life. I had a 12-cum cluster. And he said, do you know what Irving said to me? He said, Scott, that's great. Now tell me, what was the eighth one like? For Mao Zedong, a meditation on flies and kings. So, circling about my head, a fly, halos of frantic monotone, and a smudge of blood smoking on my fingers. Let Jesus and Buddha cry. Is theirs the way? Forgiveness of hurt? Leprosariums? Perhaps. But I am burning flesh and bone, an indifferent creature between cloud and a stone. Smash insects with my boot. Feast on torn flowers. Deride the nonillion bushes by the road. Their patience is very great. Jivatma, they endure. Endure and proliferate. And the meek-browed and poor in their solid tenements, etiolated, they do not dance. Worry of priest and of commissar. None may recreate them who are lonely and universal as the moss or like vegetation the winds toss, sweeping to the open lake and sky. I would not be misunderstood. I put down these words in blood. They have their Christs and their legends, and out of their pox and ailments weave dear enchantments. Poet and dictator, you are as alien as I. On this remote and classic lake, only the lapsing of the water can I hear, and the cold wind through the sumac. The moneyed and their sunburnt children swarm other shores. Here is ecstasy. The sun's outline, made lucid by each lacustral cloud, and man, naked with mystery. They dance best, who dance with desire, who, lifting feet of fire from fire, weave, before they lie down, a red carpet for the sun. I pity the meek in their religious cages and flee them and flee the universal sodality of joy haters, joy destroyers. Oh, Schiller, wine drunk and silly, the sufferers and their thick rages. Enter this tragic forest where the trees uprear as if for the graves of men, all function and desire to offend with themselves finally done. And mark the dark pines farther on, the sun's fires touching them at will, motionless like silent khans, mourning, serene and terrible, their lord entombed in the blazing hill. I first read that poem in 1959 in A Red Carpet for the Sun. I was 20. I was writing thin, constricted poems, and I had never run into a book like this. The lordly bravura language, the sweep of naked ego, the operatic gestures of contempt and exultation. This was not a garland of well-made verse. It was psychic artillery. And by its sheer brawling, triumphant existence, it not only spooked one very wasp young wannabe, it altered the whole landscape of English-Canadian poetry in a permanent way. When Layton published Red Carpet, he was 47. It was his mid-career selected. And it was unmistakably the best volume of poetry to appear in our literature till then. It raised the bar in ways that may be hard to discern now, precisely because it succeeded. I'm thinking of the amplitude and exuberance of its emotional gestures, its high-risk way with words, and its unabashed hunger for greatness. If you had to name one book that initiated our coming of age in poetry, it would be A Red Carpet for the Sun. Almost 25 years later, I found myself working with Irving on a new selected poems. This one was drawn from his whole life's work, and I was moved by the clear-eyed way he approached the process and by the surprising courtliness with which he shared the editorial reins with someone not entirely of his persuasion. Working on a wild, peculiar joy was a treat. But for me, the central agon is still with the poems that stopped me dead in 1959. Those trajectories of hankering, verbal magnificence, which blew Canadian poetry wide open, and which richly deserve the immortality they achieved.